So if you've looked at your sermon notes, you can see that there's not that many slides in there. Well, that's because between Friday morning and now, I put a whole lot more in. So don't think it's going to be a short message. I'm trusting the Lord's going to give me strength and energy. And today we're going to continue on our study in Mark, and we're going to see that Jesus chose the 12 apostles. But before we get there, walking in intimacy with God, to me that is the most important thing in all of life, walking in intimacy with God. All kinds of people know all about God. We're talking about walking in intimacy with God. There's a huge difference. There is a huge difference between intimacy with Him and knowing about Him. And we just want to invite others to know Him intimately as well. And so if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 15 is what we're going to be looking at. If you don't have your Bibles, I do have it before us. I put the verses up on the PowerPoint. But we're in Mark chapter 3. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to Him those He wanted, and they came to Him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with Him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Now, yes, I'm a wimp. Then it goes on to name the 12. And we all know that I'm not good at reading names, so I am not going to try and walk through all those names. But in Luke, and by the way, we're in your sermon notes, if you see blue underline and in a different font, that means there's blank in your sermon notes if you desire to take sermon notes and follow in that way. In Luke, the same account, Dr. Luke tells us, one of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray. And He spent the night praying to God. When morning came, He called His disciples to Him, and He chose 12 of them, whom He also designated as apostles. Jesus spent time in prayer. Jesus was fully God, fully man, and yet He prayed all night long. After a night in prayer, Jesus then chose the 12 apostles. You know, when I was younger in the Lord, I made all kinds of plans. I know that's hard to believe. I generally fly by the seat of my pants, but I would make plans, and then I'd ask God to bless them. That is just the exact opposite. It's kind of like if I would have waited till after the service and then be anointed. That's kind of the opposite. It's not that we pray and ask God to bless us. God is not just in heaven waiting for our prayers to answer our prayers. That's not what prayer is about. Prayer is about intimacy. Prayer is about talking with God, having intimacy with God. After a night in prayer, Jesus then chose the 12 apostles. So my question is, what decisions are you currently facing? And have you prayed about it? Don't we all have decisions to face? One of the elders came up to me before the service. I didn't even think about anointing. That's how bad I am. I didn't even think about being anointed. And then during the worship time, the Holy Spirit just hit me hard. Why haven't you thought about that? Why haven't you thought about that? Why haven't you been anointed? I'm the healer. I'm the great physician. Why haven't you? Well, because I was raised that you suck it up and you hide in your bedroom and you take meds and you drink lots of fluids and this too will now pass. Any other people like that out there? Just leave me alone. This too will pass. I would use some other adjectives, but I've been convicted that I use too many negative adjectives about myself. So, what decisions are you currently facing? I'm facing decisions. Don't we all have decisions to face? Do we want to make those decisions and God bless them? Or do we want to walk in intimacy with Him and have intimacy with Him, hear from Him, and then join with what He wants to do? But I fear that most of us have this image of God that, and again, I grew up in a wonderful church. I was blessed to grow up in my church. But in prayer meetings, there was never silence. God couldn't get a word in edgewise. We were all praying, and that is good. But how many times do we stop to listen? Now I'm going to get into some, here's one of the extra slides, okay? But I'm going to get into maybe deep trouble. And by the way, afterward, I will stay up here, and we're calling it Stump the Chump. If you have questions or concerns, just come up and ask. I promise I'll try not to breathe on you this week. Come and ask. Or call me, text me, whatever. If you have questions, if you think what I'm talking about is wrong, we'll talk about it. Let's talk about it. I could be wrong, but I believe it's based on Scripture and what the Lord has led me to do. See, God primarily speaks through His Word. You know, please never lose sight. Lynette used to call me a professional student. It's an open book test. Okay? It's an open book test. I hated open book tests. Do you remember those rascals? They were the hardest tests because everything in the book was up for grabs. The book, this is the book, this is the book. This is what everything's going to be based on. The Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. Everything will be based upon God's holy scriptures. Everything. He primarily speaks through His Word. And now I borrowed something from one of our small group Bible studies that we have. This is, you can't really see it. I'll read it for you. Growing Strong in God's Family, page 57, from NAV Press, 2011. See, God primarily speaks through His Word, and then we respond in prayer back up to Him. This is how He typically communicates. We have our prayer lists and other things. God speaks through His Word primarily, but He can speak beyond that. He's not limited to His Word. And here's an example. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Was that in the Word of God? I know it is now, but at the time when it happened, at Jesus' baptism, God spoke. He can do anything. He did it at the Mount of Transfiguration. Let me just ask, you know, have you ever been doing something and the Holy Spirit whispered and nudged you to call someone or do something for someone else? I know He has. That's an encounter with God. That's Him speaking to you. Jesus said, my children, hear my voice. My children, my sheep, follow my voice. My sheep, recognize my voice. They won't follow someone else. That's what Jesus said. God speaks primarily through His Word. He speaks primarily through His Word to us. I remember, you know, Lynette, we dated junior high school, and college. There was one time where we broke up for about 6 months. I was totally devastated. I knew that Lynette was my soulmate. It was like 3.5 years in. I was totally devastated. Do not ever do this. Do not ever do this. Do not ever do this. But here's what I did. Okay, Lord, speak to me. Do not ever do that. But I did it. And He honored my ignorance. You know what I landed on? Commit thy way unto the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Do not ever do that. I did it, and out of stupid ignorance, God loved me enough to use it. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. That's what I landed on. That's what God gave me. Despite how childish and foolish and stupid that was, God did it. He spoke to me. I knew that I knew that I knew. If I would seek Him with all of my heart, He would give me the desires of my heart. So I recommitted myself to Him. And a few years later, Lynette and I were married. God finally convinced her. Took a long time. This is a joke I heard a long time ago. I probably messed it up. One day a man asked God, why did you make, you know, the woman, or he said, You made women so beautiful. They're just so beautiful and wonderful. Yeah, that's so you'd be attracted to them. But God, I got a question. Why'd you make them so dumb? So that they would be so attracted to you. Took 8 years, Lynette finally said yes. Commit thy way into the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. God spoke through his word to me. The word of God, the word of God, the word of God. Never let go of the word of God. I'm telling you, we can never, ever, 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 ever let go of the word of God. I don't care what anyone tells you. Never let go of the word of God. Paul told the Galatians, even if an angel of light appears to you with another gospel, it is not true. The word of God, the word of God, we must never, ever, ever let go of the word of God. He primarily speaks through the word of God, but sometimes he uses other things. He can use a dream. He can use a vision. He can use a donkey. He can use a pastor. But never, ever, ever. Again, back to this. When God speaks personally, and he does do that, it will always, always, always be in alignment with God's word and God's character. It will always. It will always. It will never be out of character with God's word. Either it'll be in God's word or it'll be in alignment with his character. Never let go of this. I attended a school that let go of this. And they went all over the place with stupidity. This is the truth. And even if you hear an angel of light come to you, you measure it against God's word and God's character. I can't tell you how many people have come to me over the years because I'm an old man now. I've been in ministry 30 years or so. And I've heard it all. I've told you before, I've had so many different men come to me. Oh, God told me to divorce my wife and marry this other girl. Actually, he didn't. He did not. And they get so mad at me. How do you know he didn't tell me that? Because it's against God's word. It's against God's word. Now, if you're divorced or remarried, I am not condemning you. I'm just telling you, God's word says, one man, one woman for a lifetime. And are there exceptions? Yes. Do bad things happen to good people? Yes. But for someone to come to me and say, God told me to go sin, never, ever, 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 ever will that be true. Everything we hear from God, that we sense is from God, we take to the word. If it's not in agreement with his word or his character, it isn't truth. We have a standard. We know the truth. It is God's word. And Romans tells us that his character, his attributes are displayed throughout all creation. So can we see thumbprints of God all over the place? Yes, yes, yes. But anytime we hear something from the Lord, a nudge. You know, if the Lord nudges me to go and do something negative for my neighbor, that's not of God. Because that's not in alignment with his character. Now, if he nudges me to go mow his yard or go shovel his snow, yeah, that probably is in alignment with God's character. Amen? We have the word of God. We must never let go of the word of God. That's all free. Now back to the text. He appointed 12 and designated them apostles. See this tie? I have enough different ties that I can use them for sermon illustrations. What's unique about this tie? All the fish are going one way, and one fish is going a different way, and there's a little cross there. When Christ comes into our life, we're going to be living a different life. When we're called of God, he calls us to come out from the world and be apostles. And the word apostle simply means one thing. One sent with a message. Sent with a message. Every single one of us have been sent with a message to be in the world and not of the world. And this is the message, the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus died for me, he died for you, he died for everyone, that we could have eternal life in him now. You know what one of the biggest problems is right now? This tie is a lie in most people's lives. You know why I can say that? Because the murder rate is almost the same in the church outside the church. Incest is almost the same inside the church, out of the church. Don't come to me and confess that you've committed incest, because I'll just kill you. I'll blow you away, okay? And I know that's recorded and going over the internet. I'm going to send you to Jesus and he'll figure it out. It's a heinous, heinous, heinous sin. We've been called to protect our children, not to take advantage of them or anyone else's children. We should be different. It should be, people should see Christ in us, the hope of glory, not more of the world and everything the world does. And we should not be taking our standard from the world. When I was a kid, this is our standard. If we keep taking our standard from the world, and we do most of the time, well, the world's doing that, but I'm not doing it. I'm two cars behind them. The world's doing that, but I'm behind them. I'm two cars behind them. Well, where is this roller coaster heading? This is our standard, nothing else. Not the world. The world just keeps getting worse and worse. Can I say worser? It's getting worser and worser every day. This is our standard, not what the world is doing. See, I don't have modern television. I have a television, but I've got like Prime. And I watch all these old movies and stuff. And I look at them and I sing, good googa mooga. 50 years ago, they were infiltrating. They were brainwashing us. 50 years ago, they were. And it's even worse now. It's little by little by little by little by little. So now that we look at stuff and oh, it's okay. It's just okay. Are you with me? My goodness. This is the standard. Not what the world is doing. And our message is good news, good news, good news. It's not just knowing about God, it's walking in intimacy with God. That's the good news, that Jesus died in my place, in our place, so that we could have an intimate relationship with God. And there's two initial results. It's right out of the text. He appointed them to be with him and then to be sent out. And you know that's one of my passions, to be with him, intimacy with him, not just knowing about him, not just reading his word. Now, read the word, read the word, read the word. But when you read the word, you should be encountering God. Not just reading a book. See, we're to spend time with him. We're to be with him, intimacy with him. And then when we go out into the world will see something different. And if you don't believe me, Acts 4:13. Now, this is where the apostles, remember the apostles? That's who we're talking about, the apostles. They were sticking their foot in their mouth every other minute, especially Peter. And then Pentecost came. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. It changed everything. The Holy Spirit empowered them to speak boldly. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And now they're standing before the Sanhedrin. Peter and John are standing before the highest religious court of the day. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they were amazed. They were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. See, when we spend time with Jesus, we're changed. When we spend time with Jesus, we are different. No one who ever saw God or entered into His presence was Moses changed. His face glowed. When we spend time with Jesus, we're changed. Two natural results that the passage tells us. Number one, that we would be with Him, we would spend time with Him. You see, when the world looks at me and looks at you, who do they see? Do they just see us? Or is it just like with the Sanhedrin? They're astonished. They took note that these men had been with Jesus. I'm not trying to convict us, but if the Holy Spirit's convicting you now, it's Him, not me. There should be something different in our lives. And the second thing is, we're sent out. First, we spend time with Him, not studying about Him, not knowing more about Him, just spending time with Him. There's nothing wrong with knowing more about Jesus, more about the Word of God, but that isn't the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is intimacy with Him. Do you see the difference? It's a huge difference. You know, every once in a while, someone comes in my office and looks at all the books, and they're a little bit impressed. I don't have all the books to be impressed. I've started reading and studying again. I haven't been able to for a long time since Lynette died. And I'm very humbled and thankful that God has let me to begin to think more deeply again. But you know, it's possible that someone can start out loving to learn, and so they start buying books. And then they just buy books to buy books. And they have all these books. Do you see the difference? They start out because they love to learn. They love to read. They love to walk in intimacy with God. But then over time, as Scripture warns us, we can lose our first love. And then we just buy books to buy books. And we stop learning. And we stop being transformed. Yeah, we go through the motions. We read, we study. By the way, that's exactly where the Pharisees were. That's exactly where the older brother in the parable of the prodigal was. They were going through the motions, doing all the right things, but they lost their first love. And Paul warns that they will have a form of godliness, but lacking the power thereof. Amen? Each one of us are in danger of that. So first is intimacy with Him, then it's sent out. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. I'm sending you. And then he goes on. Mark gives us two more additional results. He said that we would preach and that we would cast out demons. Again, green means I was too weak, and this week I was pretty sick. I came in partially on Thursday, and then on Friday I came in, but I was still pretty much out of it. It was between yesterday and this morning that the Lord gave me more and more. Preach. It's keruso is the Greek word that's there, and that doesn't mean anything other than it primarily means a herald, to herald something, to announce something. And what are we to announce? The good news. You know, to me, the really neat thing about that is I just need to tell people about Jesus. I don't have to convince them of Jesus. Jesus does that. I'm just a herald. I'm just announcing Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Loving on people in Jesus. I've never won anyone to the Lord through argument. It was the Spirit of God came upon them, met them, and drew him to himself. It was the love of God that won people over. We just need to announce it. We need to say why we're different. The results are in his hands. And then to cast out demons. Why did he use this? I think it's the ultimate spiritual healing when demons are cast out. It's proof that God is involved in this. That's what Jesus said. He came and he cast out these demons. And all the people around, oh my goodness, someone with authority. Someone with authority. It's basically casting out a demon is spiritual healing. It's spiritual healing, if I understand the text correctly. And my next question is, who is actually transforming lives and setting people free? Who is it that does that? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's God doing it in us and through us. It's not us. It's not us. See, Matthew 18. FF is following. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. And the inference is, it's given to us. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All authority, all authority, all authority. Jesus had all authority. And he's given it to who? Paul used the illustration, this is not in your notes, but he used the illustration of a young child who's not old enough to really care for himself. And he has this huge estate. He has all this authority. He has it, but he's not using it. My brothers and sisters, we have all authority. We have all authority. We have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians says, every spiritual gift in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus has been given to us. All authority. Are we walking in that? Are we living in that? And now that's not authority to claim a Cadillac. It's not authority to claim a new truck. It's not what that authority is about. Now, God might give you a new Cadillac or a new truck. He could do that if he wants. I'm pretty sure he doesn't want that for me. I'm almost certain of that. He gives me old stuff that needs worked on, which is good. It's okay. He gives me a mouth full of bad teeth so I can rely on other people and remain humble. He won't let me sing a note. Because he knows I'd be arrogant. I believe that. He said that to me. He loves me enough to not let me sing. I'm one of those joyful noisemakers, okay? Paul said he had a thorn in the flesh given to keep him humble. Well, I got to tell you, God has all kinds of ways to keep me humble because I am arrogant at heart. And I apologize to you if I've been arrogant toward you. I really don't mean to be. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to us. Therefore, as the Father sent me, so send I you. We've been commissioned. We've been called apostles first to be with him and then to go out. And just let Jesus out. Just let Jesus out. We've got a very special event coming up. It's called Mountain State Celebration. It's April 24 through 26 of this year. And it's the Billy Graham Association. Anyone here know who Billy Graham is? I think Billy Graham's a hero of the faith. He's with the Lord now. I believe he's a hero of the faith. Someone wanted me to read a book that bad-mouthed Billy Graham. I wouldn't even read it. He's not here to defend himself. And unless it's brought by two or three witnesses, don't even entertain an accusation against an elder. I think Billy Graham is a hero of the faith. Was he a man? Yes. I'm sure he made mistakes. But they're having this celebration. And everyone in your worship folder, there's an insert called Bring a Friend. And I just want to walk through that. By the way, this Mountain State celebration is going to take place in, starts with a free F. Fairmont. Fairmont, just about an hour north of us. It's going to happen there at Fairmont State University. Can you believe a state university is hosting a Billy Graham event? That's a miracle in and of itself. The mayor's gotten on board. The president of the school's on board. God is doing something different here. Please, please, please prayerfully consider being a part of this. I want to be a part of it because God is obviously in this. And if you would, please take this out. Bring a friend. Bring a friend. And inside of this, it's got things to do. It says, first, look around. And I'm going to have to get my glasses on to even see this. I had to go back home this morning because I forgot my glasses at home. Don't get old. Look around. Where you live, work, or go to school, this is your mission field. List names of individuals you know who need Jesus, whom you will pray for regularly. I used to call this my hit list. Lynette used to get so mad at me when I called it my evangelism hit list. She said, you're going to be in so much trouble with that. So they're calling it a prayer list. Wimps. Evangelism hit list. Who are the people? This is biblical stuff. Look around. Just look around. Look around. Ask God, who is it that you want me to be praying for? And begin praying for those people every single day. So first look around. Then look up. Because God changes people through prayer. Pray each day for those on your list that God will give you opportunity to share his love with them. Then look out for ways to cultivate friendships with each person on your list. Spend time with them. An invitation to dinner or a sporting event will build friendships, which can open the way to talk about Christ. You know, I believe that most Christians don't know how to be a good friend anymore. Yeah, you're friends to us. We're friends with each other. But we're really not good friends to non-Christians. Excuse me. Look for ways to cultivate friendships with the people that you put on the list. Can we be a friend? I'm not real good at it. This is not one of my strengths. I hide in my room. It's not one of my strengths. You know, some people, Randy's not here this morning. I went to lunch with Randy one time. Every single person in that restaurant knew who Randy was. Everyone knew who he was. We got people at Randy Cunningham. We got some people are like that. They're friends with everybody. I'm not like that. That's why Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. If Timothy was an evangelist, he wouldn't be told do the work of it. He'd just be doing it. I have to do the work of evangelist. Befriend those people. Take them shooting, take them hunting, take them fishing. I don't know what ladies do. I just don't. I have no clue. Whatever you do, do it. Tea parties. I'm looking at a tea party expert back there. Have a tea party with them. I don't know. I honestly don't. Take them shopping. I don't know. Men, let your wives take other ladies out shopping, okay? You heard it here. Look for ways to cultivate friendships. Let's be a friend. Let's be a friend. And then look forward by beginning to talk with each other, with each person on your list, about attending the celebration with you. Tell them about this upcoming event. I can tell you, 85 to 90% of every single person that prays to receive Christ comes through a friend. And the Billy Graham Association recognized that. At one point, they didn't do this. Now, they get people involved up front to invite their friend, go with their friend. If the Holy Spirit convicts a person and is drawing that person to Jesus, then the friend goes with them. And guess who introduces them to Jesus? The friend does. The friend does. Billy Graham Association is spot on with this. And don't tell me you don't have any people in your life. Even if you're a shut-in, you got a mailman and a garbage man. You got to get your hair cut sometime. Right? You got to get the furnace worked on sometime. I don't care, even if you're a shut-in, there's some people that God has put in your life. And then, finally, look after. Those who respond to Christ or even begin to show interest in the gospel, for they need your encouragement, continue to love and pray for those who do not respond. You know, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I think someone coming to pray to receive Jesus Christ is like a chain with links in it. Whether you're the first link in that chain befriending someone, or you happen to be the last link before they pray to receive Jesus Christ, which link is most important? Every link is important. Every link is important. Every link is important. Whether you befriend someone and they never pray to receive Christ, that's between them and God. You're being faithful because it's God, the one that He's who transforms lives. It's not us. It's not us. Which brings me to one more thing here. The Christian Life and Witness classes, the next three Tuesday evenings, they're going to be at South Buchanan Mission Church. I called it Buchanan South. It's South Buchanan Mission Church. From 7 to 9 p.m., the next three Tuesday evenings. I'm going to be there. And now this next slide, she's not here this morning, but every time, be there, be talked about. How do you like that? Someone in our congregation, a young lady, I'd see her around town once in a while, and she'd say, you going to go to this? I don't know. Be there, be talked about. That's what she'd say. Be there, be talked about. Now, you know, I'm teasing. Three Tuesday evenings, straight out of Scripture, they're going to help further equip you and me how to befriend people and how to share the gospel with people. It's a pretty good investment. I plan to be there. Lord willing, I will be there. And now, just going to have a time of prayer. I wonder who those 12 people are in your life. Maybe it's only two or three. I don't know. Might be 15. I don't know. But who are those people in your life? And I believe that God laid this on my heart to share with all y'all, plural. So I'm just going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come and touch, impress upon us, and please, if someone's name comes to your mind or anything at all, any nudging of the Holy Spirit, just write it down. Just write it down. Dear Father in heaven, you are not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's clear from your word spoken through Peter. This morning, Holy Spirit, continue to fall fresh upon each one of us. So flow through us that we are a friend, a true friend. One of the Pharisees' accusations against you is that you were a friend of sinners, a friend of normal people. Holy Spirit, please impress upon me, impress upon us, the individuals that are already there in our life. Or maybe this week you can bring someone new, or next week, I don't know. Only you know. You called us to come apart, to be with you first, and then to be sent out. And so, in a moment of silent prayer, do whatever you desire. Speak, reveal, nudge. Bring to each one of our minds someone. We're not limiting to this moment of silence. Do it now. Do it later today, tomorrow, tonight, whenever you want. But please, Holy Spirit, continue to come.